the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, if you read this chapter, if you start reading in this chapter, this verse seems out of place. And I'll explain in just a minute. Let's have prayer. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word, God. We thank you, God, that we can come in and open this book, God, and just read it, Lord, and it would be worth coming tonight, God. But, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you try to help me, God. Help me expound on this, God. And I pray, God, you'd help us tonight, God, Lord, to have a clearer understanding of your word, a clearer understanding of how you would have us to live. God, have your way right now, Lord, and whatever's done, we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to go back and I'm going to read these first seven verses, okay? Read along with me if you want to. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all things, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you by the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It seems like that verse right there is out of context. This verse, in our minds, we think maybe this verse ought to be in a place where he's talking about the foundations of the earth, and he's talking about how the law and the prophets and all that kind of stuff. But let's go back and look what he says. Is Jesus Christ the same today as he was years ago on brotherly love? Don't everybody shout me down right there, because some of y'all might be holding grudges. But if he's the same, is Jesus Christ the same in verse 2 and 3 on doing good to others? Yes. I mean, nod your head like that right there. Yes, he is the same. How about on marriage and adultery? Is Jesus Christ the same as he always was? Amen. And verse 4, how about on coveting? Verse 5, is Jesus Christ the same today as he always was? Yes. On respecting those that have rule over you, on respecting those that are elders in the church, is Jesus Christ the same today as he always was? Yes, he is. So if Jesus Christ has not changed on these things, guess what? He ain't changed on nothing. And you know, we live in a society now where people are changing, and I don't want to bash nobody. That's not what I come to do tonight. But it's amazing how you have preachers that are changing now. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then if it was wrong 25, 30 years ago, then guess what? Then it's wrong today. If it was, I mean, just because it got in your family, and just because one of your children or one of your grandchildren or your parents or your brother and sister started doing things that don't line up with the Bible, don't mean that we can change the Bible to suit what's going on. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let me just go ahead and say, Jesus ain't gonna change his mind on nothing. This word, the Bible says that this book is forever settled in heaven. That means that the same things that Brother Ralph's daddy preached about 25, 30, 40 years ago is the same things that stand today. Amen. So with that in mind, I'm going to preach just 3 points. Is Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever on sin? Yes, he is. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden because of sin. Let's look at how Jesus looked at sin in the past. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden because of sin. So don't tell me there ain't going to be no judgment. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east end of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And look, God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden because of sin. God sent the flood because of sin. So if God hadn't changed his mind on sin, and we're going up to Genesis chapter 13, verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. We know what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah. So if God has not changed his mind on sin, then God ain't changed his mind today. If it was a sin, and I didn't come to preach on homosexuality, that's not what this is about. But if it was a sin in Genesis, and it's a sin in 2023. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 32 and 33, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, but and I will speak yet this once peradventure. 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way, and as soon as he left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place, Jesus destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord said, if we can find 10 in Sodom and Gomorrah, I'll not destroy it. And they couldn't find 10. Y'all realize we got enough people in this building right now that would have saved Sodom and Gomorrah. You want to know why we still live in a Christian nation? It's because of people like you and I sitting in churches. It ain't because of this crowd that's out there with the lights and the smoke and just entertaining people. It's because good, godly people still love the Lord, amen? And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if Jesus went to the cross for us, that's yesterday. Jesus went to the cross over 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ the same yesterday. If he thought enough of you and I to go to that cross over 2,000 years ago, I'm telling you right now, his mind has not changed on sin. Jesus ain't going to change on sin. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4 says this, behold, all souls are mine, and the soul of the Father, also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Sin will always bring judgment. I don't care what's going on. Let me go ahead and tell you something, Christian. Look at me real good. If you and I sin, judgment comes. If you and I, if Ben Helms is a child of the King, and I'm telling you, I believe he is, if Ben is a child of the King, just like any good father, that child messes up, he's going to punish that child to try to get that child to do right. How many in here has ever had God to take you to the woodshed? I'm just going to go ahead and tell you something. He loves you too much, Wes, to let you get away with it. Jesus has not changed his mind on sin. Thank God that I'm a child of the King. Thank God that he loves me. Thank God that when I mess up, hey, he comes and gets my attention, amen. Understand something. When I messed up a lot growing up. I did. I'm not lying to y'all when I say me and my brothers used to get whoopings every day. Y'all notice I said whoopings. I didn't say nothing about no spanking. My daddy ain't never heard the word spank. But you know what? Even when I was being punished, even when I was getting a whooping, I knew my daddy loved me. I knew I had a bed to sleep in. I knew I was going to get supper that night. When God's getting your attention and God's whooping you, and you understand something. God is not coming down to beat you, to cast you out of his kingdom. He loves you too much for that. If Jesus died on that cross in the yesterday, glory to God, he still loves me in today. And it don't matter what happens in my life, he's still going to love me in tomorrow, amen. He loves me. Jesus has not changed his mind on sin. What does Jesus think about the sanctuary? Second Chronicles chapter 7, we all know this scripture. Verse 12 says this, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, here it is. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. He said, I have chosen this place. That's the temple. That was the house of God. That was the tabernacle back in the day. That was the temple when Solomon built the temple. That was this place. Now understand, we don't worship at the temple. We don't worship in a tabernacle. God has allowed us to have this place. This is not the temple. We don't come in here and kill animals. This is not, don't never call this the temple. This is not a temple. This is a sanctuary. This is a church house. And I believe this is God's house. It has been dedicated to God. It has been set aside for God. So what is God's feelings on the temple? I think we're supposed to come. Hebrews 10:25 said, forsake not the assembly of yourself together. I realize that we got folks traveling today. And I didn't come to fuss about that. You understand? So I told some of my preacher friends, they would call me Wes, and they'd be all upset because there'd be a lot of people out of church on Sunday morning. I said, well, what they doing? He said, well, I got people in the mountains. I got people down at the ocean. I got people just traveling. I said, well, they on vacation. Don't worry about it. They coming back. I said, don't fuss, because you're going to want to take a vacation too. Amen. That don't bother me. Now, that crowd that just lays out and don't come to church for months, that bothers me. I'm not talking about people being sick. I'm not talking about people being on vacation. I think we're supposed to come to God's house, amen? And understand, so I understand it. You ain't got to come to God's house three times a week to be saved. If you want to stay saved, it helps. Amen? Because I don't know about y'all, and I don't know about all them that's listening on Facebook and YouTube. I know how much I mess up from Monday to Wednesday, so I need to come in. I look at this as a filling station, glory to God. I look at this. I like to come in and get some of that high-octane Holy Ghost that keeps me going on down the road. Every once in a while, that's a whole other sermon right there. Whew. I better stop that. I might need to go home and study that and preach that Sunday. Sometimes we need to come in and get an overhaul. Amen? But we need to come. I believe that's something that the Lord required. If you go back and study the Old Testament, you go back and study when, now y'all listen to me. All you people that's just sitting at home, listen. In the Old Testament, when the tabernacle was built, and when they moved around, all the tribes were set up around the tabernacle. When they blowed the trumpet, there was no excuse that you didn't come. No, excuses didn't work. You came. And I believe that's how it ought to be at God's house. You know, I understand being tired. And I was talking to one of the guys outside. He's up there teaching class right now. He said, I got home, got me a shower. He said, it would have been so easy just to lay down and take a nap. Yeah. But then what if something would happen tomorrow and you'd have had to call out on God? Folks, I believe we ought to come to God's house. Amen. How are we to treat the church? The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 30, ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. God has not changed his mind on this sanctuary. I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's just my thing. And I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all, if somebody comes and visits the church and they wear a hat in the sanctuary, best thing for you to do is try to tell them to take that hat off before the preacher comes in, because I'm going to them. I'm just being honest. This is God's house. I believe it was Brother Donald's going to remember this, and Brother Ralph and Brother Johnny will probably remember this. The old Houston Oilers used to play in a dome in Houston. They had a coach. His name was Bum Phillips. And they asked Bum Phillips to wear a cowboy hat everywhere he went, Brother Johnny. They asked him, why didn't he wear his hat when they played at home in that dome? He said, my mama told me, said, a man don't wear his hat inside. I'll tell you something, folks, this is God's house. I told you, we don't treat this like we do our house. When I'm at my house, I rear my recliner back. I have me a Coke Zero sitting over there or a cup of coffee. I sit there and I'll eat. I mean, this ain't my house. This is God's house. I ought to reverence God's house. I won't ever forget. Had a young man come several years ago, and I asked him to remove his hat. And he said, well, ladies wear the hat in the church. I said, and yeah, and you ain't no lady. I said, I'm asking you to remove your hat. Well, what if I don't want to? I said, well, if you don't want to, you can leave. Well, I'll just leave. Listen, I ain't changing. Jesus ain't changed his mind. He said to reverence the sanctuary. He has not changed his mind. How are we to act in church? Now, I'm getting ready to get on everybody. So y'all just go ahead and unbuckle your seatbelts and get ready. Now, how are we supposed to act in church? Psalms 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. There ain't no asterisk besides that and says if you're not emotional, not to do it. That's how we're supposed to act in God's house, amen. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the posturing harp. Praise him with the tremble and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Every verse right there in that set of scripture talks about praising God in the sanctuary. I mean, you ought to come to God's house waiting, just can't hardly stand it. You ought to come in wanting to praise God. No matter who's singing, praise him. No matter who's preaching, praise him. No matter what's going on outside, praise him, amen. That's how we're supposed to act in the sanctuary. We can do that and be reverent, amen. Let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost gets on you and you run pews, have at it. You ain't gonna hear me say nothing. Because it's God's house. Amen. So what does Jesus think about salvation? We know what he thinks about sin. We know what he thinks about the sanctuary. So what does Jesus think about salvation? John chapter 14, verse 6. We all know it. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There ain't no... I could just stop right now. You know, I've always been the kind, if there's one verse in the Bible, Brother Johnny, that's good enough for me, I'll stand on it. But the Bible tells it, there's multiple verses in the Bible. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. Understand something. That is God's Son. That is Jesus. We understand that. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 10 says this, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. You got it? And believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God has not changed his mind on salvation. You can't sign enough tickets. You can't go into the back of the church and talk to the preacher. You can get baptized. The old preacher said to the tadpoles, know you by name. But if you ain't saved, if you don't call out on Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, you are not saved. Contrary to popular demand, it's still about the preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by the wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I still believe we got to have preaching. I understand that sometimes we come into God's house. I understand that sometimes God gets moving in the music. And I know people are saved in music. I know people are saved at our play. Understand something. When we do those things, we're still proclaiming Jesus Christ. You still got to be convicted by the Holy Ghost. John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come unto me except my Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. In other words, you don't get saved when you want to. I've had people tell me, Wes, I had somebody tell me, preacher, I'm going to get saved. Well, when are you going to get saved? Well, I don't know, but you ain't going to get saved when you want to. You get saved when God calls you. And we're not promised but one time. After that, it's a luxury, amen. Let me go ahead and say this, and then I'm going to come to a close. Salvation is the only way to stay out of hell. You can't work your way out of hell. You can't give your way out of hell. Salvation is the only way. John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Salvation is the only way out of hell. So, folks, let me just say this, and I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it was wrong 25, 30 years ago, then it's wrong today. Amen? If it was right to dress right 40 years ago, then it's right to dress right now. If it was right to be faithful to God's house 40 years ago, then it's right to be faithful to God's house now. If the only way for salvation was Jesus Christ 40, 50 years ago, then guess what? The only way to salvation is Jesus Christ right now, and 10 years from now, it's going to be the same. So let's make up our minds as a church that we ain't changing. And you know what? If we'll do that in 15, 20 years down the road, we can be singing, I'm still here, still standing for Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love you. Thank you for being faithful. Don't forget about the Easter egg hunt this coming Saturday. What time does that start, brother? 11 o'clock. Like I say, if it's raining, we've already got that covered. If you hadn't brought any candy, bring candy. You need somebody to meet you out here and open the doors, we will. Amen. So let's do that. Let's help them out with that. And don't forget about sunrise service, 7 o'clock Sunday morning. I think Preacher Thad is going to be preaching for us Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9, worship service at 10. We will have breakfast. Hopefully Preacher Thad won't preach no hour. Might have Jamie standing up in the back waving his hand like, the biscuits is getting cold. Amen. We'll just turn him loose and let the Lord have his way. Amen. Y'all know I'm joking. I love you. If you would, let's stand. Thank you for being faithful. Let's pray for each other. I'm glad I can come to God's house and smile a little bit. Amen. Nobody else has anything on your heart. Amen. Brother Ralph, dismiss us in prayer.